My days are weird now. Greg, my days are weird now.
Strange days indeed.
Yeah, strange days indeed. See, yours are a little more structured than mine. See, you have, you know, you're following the Stanley Cup final right now. So, you know, you have stories to file. You have planes to catch. You have games to go to, skates, and got to go, you know, do all your reporter type thingies. So you have a basic direction in the day. Now that Memorial Cup is done, I kind of get a little aimless until the draft shows up. And that's kind of where I'm at now, where you got to make up your own days. Like, do you have a hard time adjusting? Because I do. Because during the entire season, you have a very basic structure. You get your schedule. You know, here's what you got to do on Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. Here's what you got to do on Sunday afternoon. So you kind of can plan your week that way. I got a lot of make it up as you go time right now. Do you well with that?
I kind of understand what you're saying, because I look forward to the playoffs every year and covering them. Not only because there are more people reading the site, and, you know, now we're finally in the end game of this long season that we all follow, but because of that structure, because when you're at the rink for a final series, especially in the final four, you know when things are supposed to happen. There's not a lot of, like, waiting around in your house for the news to happen, because you know when the news is going to happen. It's when these guys speak or when the game is played. So there is a bit of structure there. The structure part I don't like is the getting up at, you know, 4:45 in the morning to catch these flights, then getting a 2.5-hour connection delay in O'Hare, the oh hell on earth that is O'Hare. Like, I don't like that part, but I do like the part where I don't have to. The news is coming to you rather than you having to find the news.
Yeah. See. At least, though, there's a direction for you. Essentially, what I'm getting at here is, do you do well when you just make up your own schedule every single day? Because for me, here's how the playoffs work. The Memorial Cup is kind of my playoffs. Like, that's like the big crescendo, boom, the London Knights, your 2016 MasterCard Memorial Cup champions. And then I kind of really don't do much. Mm. I do the odd podcast here and there and prep for the upcoming draft. But essentially, the season's done for me. So, like, the NHL season to me ends with a whimper. Uh-huh. As opposed to a bang. But you're the opposite, because you're still there. You're in the rink.
So essentially what you're saying is that, you know, since the Memorial Cup, it's been an unending string of days of frequent masturbation, watching the Canadian Judge Judy, attempting to cook meals for yourself and failing, so you just have microwave pizza.
It's a lot of, like, okay, how many workouts am I going to do today? Am I going to get bored of it? Like, okay, like the nice thing is, like, the kids are in, like, a lot of sports in lacrosse programs right now, so we're sort of filling our evenings with that right now.
Yeah.
But, like, this morning, drop my kids off. It's like, okay, what am I going to do? Am I going to do yoga? Or am I going to go for a run? Oh, I got this podcast to do, so I'll just go for a run, and I'll do yoga this afternoon and pick up the kid later. And I don't know. It just feels, but there's, like, exciting hockey going on. There's, like, a big story in the NHL happening. And I'm just like,
I love the fact I'm going to see you at the draft in a couple weeks, and you're going to look like Lou Ferrigno. And I'll be like, what happened? And he's, you didn't have me on the cup coverage.
This is what happens. This is what happens when you take me off the schedule. Look at me.
I'm a freak. Do you see that picture of J.K. Simmons, by the way? The dude who played J. Jonah Jameson in the Spider-Man movies and was in Whiplash. You got to find it. He's lifting weights. And his arms are like the size of redwoods. There's like muscles on muscles. You see this thing?
On TMZ. Holy shit.
Right?
Oh, my God. Look at his triceps.
No.
His triceps are bigger than his biceps. Look at that.
It's insane. It's insane. I don't even know what it's for, why it's happening, but my God, it's as if he woke up one morning and said, I'm going to just do this with my body.
Wow, that's
scary.
Is that going to happen to me one day?
Yes.
Because it's like the only
big,
real sort
beard.
Of addiction, the only addiction that I really have in my life right now is exercise. And it's like intensifying. Like every day it gets sort of worse. Like, I'm not really much of a party guy.
Whenever people want to complain that there's no versus in Merrick versus Wyshynski, you just said your addiction is to working out. You're basically my Lex Luthor.
Hang on, let me, okay, pause on that. How's, now, have you been able to, because once upon a time you promised me no more late night Taco Bell. Have you been a good boy?
No, I've been terrible. Yeah,
ah,
especially,
come on,
no,
buddy.
You know why? I'll tell you why. Here in Pittsburgh, I've been pretty good. I've been working out. There's not a lot of food available downtown, and I don't have a car. In San Jose, I had a car. So that's the problem. So there was one night, after the meetup that we had, there was one night where I stopped off at a place called Carl's Jr. and had a burger at like 2 in the morning.
I am familiar. Yeah, okay.
Carl's Jr., by the way, a better Burger King I discovered. That's
right?
All it is.
I have no idea what that means to me anymore. I have no idea.
But now I'm back in Pittsburgh where there is no food, but there is transition. Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final coming up.
Ooh, does it feel like we've marched towards an inevitability here and this is going to be a coronation more than it's going to be a game? Greg Wyshynski, even though it is 3-1, this does not feel like a series, even though all the games have been one-puck games, two of them into overtime. There's a Joel Ward bad goal that may have made this thing a sweep. Does it feel like, on paper, it looks like it should be a close series? Like, okay, 20 years from now, you look back at this series, you have no video of it, and you just read the game sheet. You just look at the scores. What are you saying to yourself? Wow, what an exciting close series that was. Wow, look at that. Every game was close. You know, never really a puck apart from each other. This must have been great. This is the closest series that feels like a blowout that I've experienced since I don't know when.
Because the box score won't even tell you about those stretches of time when the Sharks don't have a shot, right? They won't tell you about those stretches of time when Joe Thornton and Joe Pavelski, you know, are passing between each other because they're both afraid to shoot the puck because it's going to get blocked. It's remarkable what the Penguins have done defensively this series, and I was in the Sharks room after Game 4, and here's what we're selling for Game 5. Here's the hope and dreams for Game 5. All we got to do is score the first goal. Then they'll see the Sharks marching down the ice, controlling the game. If we just get that first goal, that's the mantra for this one coming up.
What's it like in Pittsburgh? Not what's it like with the fans, because you know exactly what the fans are feeling like. Everyone's euphoric. The Stanley Cup's in the building. Oh my God, we're gonna get the cup! Oh, finally, Crosby's gonna get a second cup.
Well, hold on. We'll pause on that for a second, because I'll get to the players in a second. But the fans. Here's what the thing is with the fans. I was at a bar last night having some dinner, and this conversation was happening next to me, and it's about, well, how much is a single ticket? Well, it's 7,000. But I wouldn't get to sit with anybody? No, you're just buying a seat, 7,000. So that's where we are in Pittsburgh right now. Is
what?
It has been so long since a championship could be won in this city that right now, the tickets are going for like $7,000. Now, I think that's downstairs. Only was an upstairs seat, but that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the hottest ticket in town, and once I revealed myself to be a journalist, I was pretty sure I wasn't going to make it out of there alive. I thought I was going to be killed. They were going to take my credential. They were going to razor out my picture, put in theirs. But yeah, that's what's happening. But as far as the Penguins go. I think there's enough leadership in that room that the plan the parade mentality is not going to pervade that room for Game 5. And I think it could. I think it could easily, because not only do you have the anticipation of everybody waiting for you to win the cup at home, but they've just been so dominant. Like, you almost feel like it could come easy in Game 5. But I don't think that they're going to be in that mindset. I don't think Sullivan will let him be there, and I don't think Sid will let him be there.
On a scale of 1 to 10, okay, you're putting on your journalist hat here. I know there's no cheering
in the press
box.
It's always on, sir.
Okay, very good. Very, very good, Jimmy Olsen. Well done. Okay.
Thank you.
There's no cheering in the press box. Outside of the New Jersey Devils, I know you don't really have a dog in this one. I get it. You're not a fan of the Pittsburgh Penguins. You're not a fan of the San Jose Sharks. Well, we know you're not a fan of the San Jose Sharks. We won't bring that up, though. How disappointed will you be if San Jose forces a Game 6? From a journalist, I have to get on that plane again point of view. Because that was very much the vibe. Remember when it went back in the Rangers LA series? And everyone in the media was like, F this, man. Just get this over with. This is done.
Not only that, but in the Jersey Kings series.
That's it. That's what I was thinking of. Sorry, Jersey and Kings. And Kings. Everybody was livid. Well, media was.
I'm 50-50.
Cool, more hockey. Woo!
I'm 50-50. I want to go home. I want to see my dog and my lady playing with my dog. But I also am feeling really let down by this series because it's been great. It's been a really entertaining hockey series, like to see what the Penguins have done and to see how they've done it and to see little stories here and there. But it's not been a very good final. It lacks flashpoints of violence outside of the Marlowe hit. It lacks real nail biting because these are two teams that aren't going toe to toe. It's one team taking it to the other team. I will feel disappointed if this ends in five. Because I feel like I haven't gotten my money's worth from the final yet.
Have you seen Joe Thornton lately?
I saw a tumbleweed rolling down the ice. So I assume that was him.
We always say a goalie change is a sign of desperation. If you're Joe Thornton facing elimination, do you chop off the beard?
Oh man, that
knowing how superstitious players are, knowing how change momentum, do anything, mix up the routine, got to change things around, need some better kung fu. You chop off the beard.
I think you're on the right path, but you can't shave it off. Like,
all of a sudden he shows up as like Joe Thornton from the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds.
No.
Back in junior. No?
If you shave it off, it will be seen as a sign of surrender. Like your playoff is over. You've shaved off the beard. But
really?
If you fashion that beard into
a point? Like Jim Neidhart?
Three points. Three different points, and on each victory, then you chop off that point. Now you've inspired.
Oh my God,
now you're
a
leader.
That's hilarious.
All twisted
you
up with elastics, like Lou Albano. Okay.
Yep. Three elastic beards. Little beards on the big beard. But you can't shave it off though, because that's surrender. That's the white flag right there. That's thrown in the towel.
Yeah. Listen, man, it would be wonderful for the city of Pittsburgh and their fans to see them win the Stanley Cup, but I don't want hockey to end yet. I always get this way. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Everyone wants to see the Stanley Cup, but no one wants the season to end. I know I don't. I feel for you, though, because there's a lot of travel for you, and I feel for everyone who's in your position as well, because that's tons of travel. But I don't want hockey to end yet. I don't want it to be over.
The thing that you said before, though, holds true, that even if they win Game 5... it's delaying the inevitable. 31 out of 32 times the team's held a 3-1 lead in the final. The team that had the 3-1 lead won the cup.
I get it.
1942 Leafs? The one that came back from 3-0?
Yeah, against Detroit.
That's it. The only time anyone's ever come back from a 3-1 deficit to win. That's it.
Jack Adams hit the ice to punch an official, I think, in game 4.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the stories in that one. It doesn't happen.
It's inevitable. But do I want them to prolong the inevitability? Yeah, I kind of do. What?
Melissa Bergeson, who's awesome. That was a tumble beard, actually.
Tumble beard.
Anyway, continue, Greg. Yeah.
Yes.
She's good. She's good, man. She's good.
I mean, I think there's a chance they could win Game 5. They would need to score the first goal, and they would also need Joe Pavelski to be present and accounted for in a game in this series.
Yeah.
I picked the Sharks, and I picked them because Pavelski, Thornton, Couture, Marlowe, and Burns were all the best players in every series that they played. And in this series, Couture showed up. That's it. Like
they tired.
They all have okay underlying numbers, but
are they a tired team? Like you're right there, you see them. Are they exhausted?
The Penguins make you look like a tired team though, because they're faster.
You know why? They're faster, and they don't let them set up in the offensive zone.
Not at all.
They don't give them a chance. Everyone talks about how great Pittsburgh is on the rush. How about how good Pittsburgh is on the backcheck? The one thing where San Jose kills you is they. When the San Jose Sharks set up, it can be deadly. Pittsburgh letting that happen? Nope.
Joe's had no time to create. And he's getting frustrated by it, for sure. And but the thing, the Burns part of it, I don't get. Like, because if you have an active defenseman and a guy like Burns who's been a difference maker in every series, like, he should still be able to find his space. Or he should be able to create some chaos in the offensive zone. And he's done neither of those things in the series. Two assists in game one.
He has been a rover. Like, if you look at Burns, like, there's a moment in every game where Burns is like, I'm sick of this. I'm not a defenseman anymore. I'm a throwback hockey player. I'm going all over the ice.
Well, that's exactly right. Like, I think that he has made too much of an effort to try to be a physical difference maker in this series to the detriment of his offense. I don't know. They're out of whack. But they're out of whack because of what's being done to him. And again, like, you can't kill him for it because the Penguins are just playing better hockey. And the Penguins are so good defensively in this series that it might cost their rookie goalie, the Conn Smythe, because of recency bias. Like, no one will remember that he bailed them out against the Capitals and played so well in the previous rounds because they look at this and they're like, hey, what does he have to do? Like, nothing. This is an amazing defensive team in front of him.
Do you not give some Conn Smythe trophy love to Chris Letang through all of it? I know everyone's gaga for Kessel, good reason, gaga for Murray, same deal. But do you not give Letang some Conn Smythe consideration here?
You have to. We'll talk about the Conn Smythe later on. That's the thing we got to talk about. But before he comes on, I think you should set up our guest.
Harner Ryan? Harner Ryan Singh is coming on here in a couple. Is he standing by? Is he on the line?
Not yet. No, I was going to call him right now.
Not yet? Okay, well, Harner Ryan Singh is going to be joining us. Harner Ryan I met when I started at Hockey Night in 2007-2008. It was Harner Ryan Singh and Parminder Singh who were doing this revolutionary new thing on Hockey Night, which is Hockey Night in Canada, Punjabi. And he's been pounding it out ever since. There's a wonderful article on Harner Ryan in Maclean's magazine, which is available online. You should all check it out. It sort of gives his backstory and how he got there. You know, family came from India, moved to Brooks, Alberta, grew up there, fell in love with hockey, was an Oilers fan, you know, grew up calling games like everybody did, like as a kid. You know, you do Gretzky to McTavish to Curry to Lowe to Glenn Anderson, and the Oilers score. And always wanted to be doing what he's doing now, and was told in a lot of places on his way up that, no, you don't look like someone who should be doing this. There's no room. There's only room for, you know, middle-aged white guys like Marek and Wyshynski to do hockey. That's what hockey media looks like. It's not like you. But isn't it amazing what happens when you widen your perspective and allow something new to happen? Whether it's John Scott goes to the All-Star game or whether it's doing hockey commentary with another voice, with different sounds, sounds that make the same game that we're all watching look cool. Like, I've always made the point, Greg, you and I and Harner Ryan, we do nothing other than make frames. We don't make the art. You know, we're not the painter. We're not the sculptor. All we do is make the frames that go around it. That's the job that we do. We don't do the actual thing. We make the frames around it, and we've been making the same frame for a lot of years. And when you let new frame makers in, wonderful things happen. Like, they've been doing this. Harner Ryan's been doing this going back to 2008. You know, I've heard his call before. It's fantastic. I've pimped it out on Twitter tons of times. Listen to Harner Ryan's call.
He's standing by, gentlemen.
A lot of people have. And for whatever reason, this is the year that it finally popped. And the Bonino call, we're going to get to Harner Ryan here in a second, who's standing by. But I want to play the Bonino call for those who may have never heard it before. I don't know how you may not have heard it before. It's become the great call of this year's edition of the Stanley Cup playoffs. This is Harner Ryan Singh's great call of a Nick Bonino goal.
Quintana Samabakia, Karge go!
That's incredible.
It's so good. It's so good. We're going to rewind it to get to the Bonino part, which all the Penguins players, by the way, talking to Colby Armstrong about this, who's covering it in Pittsburgh, Colby's saying all the Penguins players are doing it in the dressing room as well. Harner Ryan Singh from Hockey Night in Canada, Punjabi, joins us now. Harner Ryan, how are you today, my friend?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem, man.
The pleasure
thanks for coming
is,
on.
Uh, it, is all ours. Hey, you know, is it a little bit, I mean, I remember Tom Waits used to always say, you know, my biggest fear is I'll tap the world on its shoulder my entire life and I better have something to say when the world decides to turn around. Is it amazing to you, or how do you feel knowing that you've been doing this going back to when, well, we first met at Hockey Night, and I think it was 2007 or 2008, and that it's only now where finally, in large mass, people are understanding and seeing the great work that you're doing?
Well, I think you know what it is. It's the power of social media. We've had an enthusiastic and energetic call for many years, and I think now because of the transition to Rogers Omni, our production quality, production team has grown, and we have a dedicated person to our social media, and we've been able to, you know, it's such a live medium, especially with Twitter. Right when the you know, the game-winning goal is scored, we're able to throw up our goal call right away, and I think in the moment, the fans, I'm thrilled that everyone appreciated it and loved it. So that's been a part of it, but also this is the first time I think that fans of in the hockey world in the United States have discovered who we are. I think in Canada we have had other spurts of media before, media coverage, but this is really the first time we've received attention south of the border. So for a lot of people, it's like, oh wow. What is this? Like, this is something brand new. What's it about? So I think that has a lot to do with it too. But whatever coverage we've received, we're very, the whole entire team is very appreciative.
That's awesome. When you're doing the broadcast, for those of us who you know, obviously only know you through the goal calls and stuff, when you're doing the broadcast, how what's the tone? Is it educational? Is it approaching the fans that listen and watch, like they are really familiar with the sport? How do you handle that?
Well, it is a bit of a mix. I mean, the educational stuff we did more earlier on when the show first began. But now I think it's actually, it's a mix of the characteristics of the community. The Punjabi community is very vibrant. They wear a lot of vibrant colors in their clothing. They're loud. They like their music and, they also love their food and they love humor. So I think we incorporate all of those characteristics into the call. So it's fun. It's entertaining. I mean, we have all of the stats in there and the rest of the anything an avid hockey fan would need, but it's extra icing on the cake with the, you know, music lyrics that get put in. I don't know if you guys heard the Kucherov goal call from last round.
Oh, yeah.
Where we ended up singing a song. But yeah, there's those types of, you know, food references, music lyrics, and all that stuff compiled into one. So it's a complete package. It's fun. It's entertaining. You know, helping grow the sport. And there's a lot of really unique things going on with the show behind the scenes that I think initially when it was started, we had no idea that, you know, these would be some of the amazing things that would be happening.
We're going to play some of your music as well. And for those that don't know, Harna Ryan is a wonderful musician. It was a couple of years ago you sent me some videos of you performing and some other Kirtan music as well. We're going to play some of that towards the end of the broadcast. But how much does that, having that musical background, and I would have to think that it would, considering how you call goals specifically, how much of your musical background influences how you call a game, Harna Ryan?
It's a good question, and you know, Jeff, no one's asked me that in before, and it has to do with it in the sense of, so a lot of times when there's a name that suits it, I do a long, we call it a lumbi haik in Punjabi music. The musicians used to have a competition in between each other that who could carry on the one syllable, the note for the longest time. And that's where that comes from, where, you know, if it's Donskoy, and then I try to beat out the goal horn or something. So that has actually come from the Punjabi music side. And then of course, yeah, the lyrics and things like that. And just having that background, my two passions were, in my life have been hockey and music. So definitely, I mean, that is something. And it's also even in, you know, preparation for the game or even what you're listening to on your drive into the arena or the studio. So I'd say it has a pretty significant part to do with my call, so, for sure.
Have you ever then timed yourself, Harna Ryan, to see how long you can actually hold a note?
Well, my analysts, Pupinder, Harpreet, and Randeep, they sometimes tell me, "Oh, well, that one was really long," or you know, or they sometimes comment. So that's kind of my gauge. But yeah, you can tell. I mean, some arenas hold out their horn for the goal longer too, and things like that. But I haven't necessarily timed it myself, but I just gauge it off the reaction of my analysts.
Okay, here's the competition then, Harn and Ryan. Which arena's horn is the toughest to beat? Is there one rink where like, oh man, I'm in, you know, Philadelphia, man, that horn goes forever. Is there a rink that you have a hard time beating?
I remember off the top of my head, Chicago, you know, we've done a lot of playoff games, obviously, in the last few years with them. And I remember last year's playoffs, they have a pretty, sometimes they even do, they put a break in it and then they start again. So that one's a little bit more difficult there. But yeah, so that one, off the top of my head, Chicago's United Center probably has one of the longest goal horns, for sure.
That's amazing. One of my favorite things about your broadcast, and I think I heard this on the NPR interview you guys did, is the fact that there isn't a direct translation for several hockey things. What are some of the hockey things that have weird translations or that you have to change the word for to make it make sense?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a few things that we've coined that have become really popular. You know, for penalty box, we just call it translates back into English as box of punishment. So we call it sajadabba, right? So it's just more dramatic. And you know,
box of punishment.
So and then we have for slap shot, there wasn't a slap shot. Even though a lot of Punjabi people, like the older generation, can relate to field hockey, but there isn't really even a slap shot there. So for slap shot, we made a hybrid word, and it was a slap to the face, and then we added shot on the end, so chipped shot. And literally, like, wherever I go, like, I went and spoke at a high school yesterday, and just the kids were, the students were just like, oh, chipped shot, chipped, we love that, and those types of things. So it's become one of the more popular phrases as well. You know, we had to stick with a few of them, like icing. We just decided to stick with icing. But there's a lot of fun ones that we've been able to create in the community, especially the youngsters. They've really loved them.
What about
the
puck? Wasn't the puck one of them too?
Well, yeah, if you want to explain what a puck is to a person who's never played hockey or been to a hockey arena, we have a Punjabi appetizer that is, it's made of potatoes, but the potatoes are kind of squashed and shaped into the same shape as a puck. And we call it a tikki. So you could say, well, this, it's like a rubber aloo tikki. So it's like a rubber potato appetizer. And you just need some chutney with it. And yeah, it would taste great. So that's a great way to describe it for sure.
This is so amazing. Like the broadcast is so much fun. You know, I share this with a lot of people. I don't understand exactly what you're saying. I get a sense of what you're saying based on the play itself. But there's that, as you mentioned earlier on, Harn and Ryan, there's a real joy to it. There's a real energy to it as well. Who are some of the people that have reached out to you, whether it's players, whether it's executives, whether it's people in and around the game who've been in touch with you to say, hey, you know what, man, I really enjoy what you guys are doing, even if I don't understand the language itself?
Well, you know, that's I can tell you about Mark Crawford at the initial stages when this first came about. He was recently, you know, let go from the Canucks, and he was doing work with CBC at the time, and he was telling people that, you know, in the lower mainland of British Columbia, where, you know, Surrey is a city near Vancouver where there's a lot of a very dense Punjabi community. And he was saying, like, you know, when he went grocery shopping in Vancouver, it was Punjabi grandmothers and grandfathers who were coming up to and recognizing him. Or if he was pumping gas at the gas station, it was people within the Punjabi community wearing their Punjabi attire, their turbans, and they were the ones recognizing him the most. And then when he was driving around Surrey, you know, Punjabi kids with turbans were playing ball hockey everywhere. So it's kind of a fun story in that sense, where, you know, he really noticed it, and so there's that. But I mean, we've been welcomed by the hockey community, from the broadcasting side, from the executive side, from the players, very, very well. I mean, we've been well received, and I think now this is the 9th season that the show's been on. So especially in Canada, I think the players and the whole hockey industry, they're well aware. And you know what it's doing, the great part of it is when you look at the minor hockey associations, like let's say in Ontario, it's the Brampton Minor Hockey Association, or in British Columbia, the Surrey Minor Hockey Association, predominantly the players playing in those are of Punjabi descent. And I travel to a few minor hockey arenas, and I've had parents come up to me and say that, hey, our kids wouldn't have been in minor hockey had it not been for your guys' show and what you're doing. So I think that's something that's really cool. Definitely the immigrant community, the new Canadians especially, who are coming out here, and you know, when they go to work, they find out that quickly everybody's talking about last night's game, and you know, for some they didn't know what the sport was about, but now with their show they're able to, you know, participate in Canadian culture and conversation that way. So sports has that universal force to unite people, no matter what your background is, no matter how you look, no matter what language you speak. And I think the show is really doing some beautiful things in the background, other than just, you know, providing an experience for the fans. There's all sorts of other benefits as well.
Yeah, that's always a fascinating thing with the NHL. I mean, like, I think the NBA is there too now, but for years the languages that follow the sport on the NHL level, you know, the amount of work that has to be put in to make sure that those audiences are served, especially when you come here to like the Cup Final, and it's like, I was talking to Patrick Laine the other day, and I had to, you know, wait 15 minutes for the Finns to get done with them, do all the Finnish questions. I love that aspect of the NHL, the melting pot aspect of it.
Oh, most definitely, and I think it's only going to grow even further. I think for the sport, because, you know, in some places numbers are stagnant in terms of who's enrolling and into minor hockey, and so I think the sport needs to continue to do these types of things to grow. And you know, we're going to see more players of different ethnic diversities make it to the NHL. The Oilers drafted Jujhar Khaira. He's a Punjabi boy. The Everett Silvertips in the WHL had an all Punjabi line a couple of years back. So the seeds are being planted, and you know, eventually we're going to see those the effects of that coming in the near future.
I think Jujhar Khaira played with the Silvertips too, didn't he?
He did. He was on that line with Munraj Hare and Tyler Sandhu. That's right.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Tyler Sandhu. That's right. Why hockey for you? I mean, you're your parents, as if I have the bio right, your parents moved from India to Brooks, Alberta. I would assume maybe you went to a couple of Bandits games along the way. Why hockey for you? How did it happen?
Well, growing up in southern Alberta in the 80s, obviously the Oilers and the Flames, the Battle of Alberta, it was the heyday. And I'm the youngest of four siblings, so my older siblings were already fans of the sport, but I kind of took it to the next level. I was I was wearing some Oilers pajamas and mini hockey sticks. I had that all since I was a baby and a toddler. But my kindergarten class, I'm wearing a Gretzky sweater. And through my elementary school, I was that kid who was, writing 0 to 99 on the page and memorizing players' jerseys during class. And, you know, I was writing out the team names and trying to memorize as many players as I could it's just something that grew in. But one of the reasons, when I really reflect back on it, is I grew up in a town where there wasn't any other visible minorities. It was just, everybody living in the town was of Caucasian descent. And, you know, I wore a turban. My parents did as well. And we've got the flowing playoff beards. And, So, you know, I think when I talked about hockey with my classmates, they kind of, you know, accepted me as their own. You know, hockey was the icebreaker for me to allow them to feel that I was a Canadian. And I think really when I look back at a lot of my friendships, they were all based on the sport of hockey. So if it wasn't for hockey, I think my experience of growing up in a small southern Alberta town would have been totally different. So it just, the obsession with it grew. And my dad's a bookworm. He's got 7 academic degrees with a PhD. He was worried that I was making my mind into this encyclopedia for the sport of hockey. He's like, what are you going to do with it? And but thankfully, you know, I went, even though I had a lot of people tell me along the way that, you know, you this is so unrealistic, you know, getting on TV with how you look, it's impossible. But thankfully, my parents and family supported me and said, go for your goals and dreams. And after my broadcast journalism education, I was able to, you know, find a fit. And this show came along. And as they say, the rest is history.
That's awesome. That's perfect. Last one for me. We're going to talk about it probably for the next couple of minutes after we bid adieu. Who's your Conn Smythe winner if the Penguins close this thing out in 5?
You know, okay, for me, it's between Murray and Kessel, but I think, you know, the Kessel thing is intriguing because he's leading the team in points and he's playing a complete game whereas everybody originally thought he wasn't capable of doing that. And I think, you know, having him there has really taken the pressure off of Malkin and Crosby because, you know, they haven't been able to contribute as consistently for the team in terms of points. So, you know, there is the Kessel factor is there. But then the Murray thing is also so intriguing because he's so young and he comes in with no real regular season experience. And now he's got more wins in the playoffs than he does in the regular season. And he's taking, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury is back. And still Murray is the guy. So it's between those two. And, you know, I think the final decision is really only made until the final game is played. And so I don't have a final answer for you, but right now it's between those two for me.
All right. My last question, Harner Ryan, is going to be about music. You do a great job with the Punjabi broadcast. Bhupinder is outstanding. Randeep, Harpeets, Amrit, who does the social media for you guys. Nathan, who does the production for the program. But at the end of the podcast today, we're going to play one of the 2 tracks that you sent me last night, all your own creation. You played all the instruments on it as well. I know Kirtan music is near and dear to your heart. You and I have talked about that countless times. We know now how you come by music, or hockey rather. How do you come by music? And how do you come by Kirtan?
Well, it was my parents who were interested in it. And my mom had a big passion for it. And, I think that was the music in our faith and our culture was the way that I was able to maintain our cultural heritage in my life. And then that was kind of the hook in for me. And my parents had those instruments at home from a very young age. They kind of got me started on those. And then, when you have a passion for something and you develop a passion for something as a youngster, you kind of go for it. And I surrounded myself as much as I could while I was growing up with other musicians and things like that. So that's where the passion grew. And so the main instruments I play are the tabla, which is an East Indian percussion instrument that you play with your hands. And then the other one is a harmonium, which is like it's kind of like an accordion, but a different sound to it for sure.
We can't wait. We're going to play that towards the end of the broadcast. And I lied. I have one more question for you.
First of all,
congrats. And second, how does it feel to be a first-time dad?
Oh, well, it's amazing. I mean, it's so great to be able to watch my daughter grow up. She's 9 months now, and we a lot of her attire is, well, my favorite shirt that she has is a onesie. It says, "I'm told I like hockey." And because my wife's a big hockey fan too. So it's just hilarious because we're just, and we just don't know which team is she going to choose to be a fan of. So that's a lot of fun. But you know, you're saying congratulations for all of the success we've had these playoffs. It's the entire team, all the rest of the analysts, our producer, everyone on the team. It's through everyone's efforts and passion that we've been able to, you know, get this far together. So we're all very appreciative of the love and support we've gotten from the hockey world. It's been just thrilling. It's been a thrilling experience.
No, it's been great watching it, and now thankfully everybody knows what everyone who's been watching you for 9 years has known all along. Thanks so much, Harner Ryan. We'll catch up down the road, and continued success with at least one more NHL game this year.
That's right. That's right. Well, thanks, Greg and Jeff. I appreciate it, and yeah, you guys have fun on the rest of your podcast here.
All right, thanks, Harner Ryan. We'll catch up soon. Thanks, man.
All right. Yeah. Bye bye.
Harner Ryan Singh,
he's the best.
Who is one of the cooler guys you will ever meet. And his music is sweet too, dude. If you just go to YouTube as well, just type in Harner Ryan Singh, some cool stuff of him on there. But we're going to play a little bit of his most recent compositions. I don't think have even been released yet towards the end of the podcast cool. here today. All right,
I'm not sure if you can hear the ambient noise, but Brent Burns is on the ice whipping pucks right now.
Is he practicing his empty net goals right now?
He is. Obviously, in right. preparation for, you know, the empty net.
Right, scoring any empty net goals right now?
He's scoring a lot of them. Listen.
Listen.
I think the writers, I hate to say this, because, listen, he's had a great playoff. He has been an integral part of the best line. Has he been their best forward overall? I think you can argue Sid's been better in the last couple rounds.
Mm-hmm.
If the 18 members of the Conn Smythe voting committee give it to Phil, I will be very happy. I will be very happy for obvious reasons, which is that this fat tub of bad teamwork and poor conditioning and apathy and whatever else he was painted as being in Toronto is now MVP of the playoffs. It would make
Why I would love that to happen? Because I would love for the headline from this season to read like this. NHL season 2015-2016. A season where we saw John Scott as the All-Star MVP and Phil Kessel as the Conn Smythe Trophy winner.
There is that aspect of it for sure. That said...
You wouldn't love that. Greg, come on. You wouldn't love
that. I would love it. That said... Best player in the playoffs, most valuable player in the playoffs for the Pittsburgh Penguins is Matt Murray.
Yep.
He should win the Conn Smythe. If they give it to Phil, he'll be fine with it. I think Phil is a great story, and he's done some really impressive things. I think you could argue that Sid has done as many impressive things, especially in the last two rounds. But I'm saying all the way through, the rookie goalie who comes in and beats Henrik Lundqvist and beats Braden Holtby, has a sub 2.0 goals against in the final so far, lost his job, came back 5-0 after losses in the playoffs. He's the Conn Smythe winner. He's not the best story. Phil's the best story, but he's the Conn Smythe winner.
Murray, Crosby, Letang, Kessel for me. But the thing is, having said that, I'd be happy if it was Phil.
Oh, just for everybody the story. Would be happy if it's
just
Phil.
Just for the story.
Yeah, for
if
sure.
it were Phil Kessel, I'd be so ecstatic. This would be glorious. Again, for the whole... Listen. I can remember specifically 2010, talking to someone on the voting panel. I'm not going to say who it was, but you know who it is, Greg. And I thought that Duncan Keith should have won the Conn Smythe. And I was making my case to this person quite loudly one night. Perhaps not sober. And this person turned to me and said, yeah, you know, you got a point about Duncan Keith, and you could really make an argument that he should be the Conn Smythe Trophy winner. You could actually make the argument Chris Pronger could have, too. He said, but it's better for the NHL if it's Jonathan Toews. I just had to walk away. Because
politics.
It looks like a Conn Smythe. Yeah, it looks like a Conn Smythe Trophy winner. It's a nice, clean story if it's Jonathan Toews.
Uh-huh.
You know,
so you're saying it'll be Phil.
I like it more when it's a little bit punk rock. And Phil Kessel is your punk rock choice. Crosby is the safe one. Face of the franchise.
Crosby is
the
safe one.
Your punk rock choice is Phil Kessel.
If the vote from the journalist is what's better for the NHL, Phil winning the Conn Smythe is better for the NHL than anybody. Don't you think?
That Phil's better?
That Phil is the better story.
In what sense? Yes. Going away. Going
that's
away.
What
Phil,
I mean.
Phil is the better story. Totally.
Taves
going
is the better
to...
story that year, without question. Without question, Taves is the better story. But I think in the same way, Phil's the better story this year.
I think Phil's the better story, but from the NHL corporate point of view, it's always best when Sidney Crosby, as the face of the NHL / Pittsburgh Penguins
sure.
at the same time, wins the Conn Smythe yes. trophy. But you're right, man. Phil Kessel. You know, going back to the draft last year, where, you know, the Penguins were arguing like mad about Toronto wants too much. And, you know, I think it was Rutherford who finally said, screw it, go to St. Louis and take the TJ Oshie deal. Like, it could have been TJ Oshie on the Pittsburgh Penguins, not Phil Kessel. Go do that deal
right.
instead. You know, being cast off by the Boston Bruins, being cast off by the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know, the question at the beginning of the season, how come he can't play with Sidney Crosby? That's why we brought him in here. Why can't we find anyone for Phil Kessel to play with? Why can he not adapt to this Pittsburgh Penguins squad? Like, everything. Go back to the All-Star game in Ottawa with Ovechkin taking his picture. Like, every single step of the way. Now, mind you, some of it he brought upon himself. I get that. No one's perfect. I'm not perfect. Phil Kessel ain't perfect. Greg Wyshynski ain't perfect. But it would be a glorious story if Phil Kessel skates over to take the Conn Smythe trophy. Oh, my God. Oh, the same way my head exploded at John Scott, it would explode at Phil Kessel. Be glorious.
Real quick. There's talk from Vegas that the executive committee has endorse
put
expansion.
Yep.
In Vegas
yep.
for 17-18. Where are you on all of this? Like, do you see now with Quebec, like we just got a question from somebody about Quebec, and like, I mean, they're just backdoor relocation option now, right?
And everyone's circling Carolina.
Yeah.
Right? And I
which
think
they
that...
may or may not. Here's the thing with Carolina. Like, the one thing you have to remember is that the two things that the Hurricanes have going for them is that the NHL loves the market. They don't want to give up the market. And the bottom line is that it's very hard to gauge the interest of local ownership in buying that team when it's contingent that the guy selling the team retain majority control. I don't know who would step up and be like, yeah, I want to buy the team, but Mr. Carmanos, you continue to control everything. Like, who's going to do that? Nobody's going to do that.
No, I know. But it does seem more than anything else that is being held as a relocation market.
Oy. Vegas, baby.
It's going. It's going to happen. I think we've known about it for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be first in all the major sports.
Mm-hmm.
It'll happen. Get used to it. Get ready. Get start prepping your expansion draft. Just start prepping what your team's gonna, you know, who your team's gonna protect and who they're not gonna protect. This is gonna happen.
Start prepping your resumes. How many of our brethren are gonna be first in and trying to become the beat writer?
Oh,
holy shit!
End up in divorce court first thing Monday morning. But other than that, be fantastic.
Like, I know he's got a cushy job at TSN, but Frank Cervelli, man.
Oh, just like, yeah, it'll be a lot of be a wild ride.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
don't plan on having anyone around you when it's all done.
Right,
fun along the way.
All right, well, that's the show, ladies and gentlemen. Game 5 will be a beaut, and closing it off is, what are we listening to now?
Yeah, this is Harden Ryan sent me a couple of tracks last night, unreleased, new stuff that he's working on. He did all the production on this, all the music on, all the instruments are all his as well. He's as great a hockey call as he is, he's also a brilliant musician. This is Hockey Night in Canada, Punjabi, play-by-play voice, Harden Ryan Singh taking us out, and here you go. So it's not just hockey, folks. There's more to life than hockey. There's also awesome music in this guy's portfolio. So enjoy the sounds of Harden Ryan Singh, your Punjabi Hockey Night in Canada play-by-play voice.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.